Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 56. Tom, how art thou?
My hat is doffed.
Ooh. Mm. That is a word I have not heard for ages and probably won't hear again until you say it.
What's another word you haven't heard for ages? How about verisimilitude? Verbose.
Verbose is a good one.
Verbatim.
Verbatim.
Verily.
Verily.
Forsooth.
Vast. I've heard vast. Vernacular. And other things. And other words starting with V.
Vice.
City.
Vanellope?
Did you just make one up?
No, that's from Wreck-It Ralph. Not long.
No, very soon.
So the internet is broken, just like any time we drop a new episode.
It's going to be so baroque. We're going to have a special guest come in during this episode. They are waiting with, they're poised at the door pretty much.
Yeah.
Ready to let us know what they've been watching. I've been watching a few things, got a lot of cool news stories, a quiz, and The Good Place will be behind the spoiler section.
Mm. Good last hair. One of the year.
Good hair.
Very good. Strong.
Solid. News-wise, let's get into it, Tom. Why don't you kick it off?
Sure. So I'm going to split the news this week because there's so damn much.
So much.
So we're going to split it into newsy news.
Yep.
And then trailer / upcoming newsy news.
I like this. All right, let's go with that.
Good. Okay, so first major one for us, season 4 of Good Place, confirmed.
Yes.
So we'll have 3 more episodes in January to finish off season 3.
Another wait, though.
I know, it's difficult. Well, the episode we got this week was actually going to be the first episode in next year. So they were going to have 4, but they kind of argued that the episode was that strong that they should finish off the year with this one.
It was super strong.
It was, and it's a great way to end things out. So we come back for that Act 3 of Season 3.
Yeah.
Also, with The Good Place, it was announced this week that it actually has the highest education rating among viewers of any primetime show.
Now, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, so it indexed highest among people that had 4 or more years of college education.
So basically people with degrees are almost the regular
watcher. Yeah, well, it's very much it's a smart person's show. It can be enjoyed by everyone, but there are enough intellectual layers to unpack and dissect that, yeah, it's indexing really high with people that like a good think.
They like having a think. They like to talk, dissect things like the Good Place episodes.
So good work, fellow cheaties.
That's right. Everybody's having a panic now because of thoughts and decisions. I saw one which is sort of along the same lines in that it was a university study. They studied James Bond as in the character and they found out that he was an alcoholic who needs treatment and workplace support.
Well, after that many drinks, he's probably shaken and stirred.
Exactly. The University of Otago did the research and it was actually published in the Medical Journal of Australia's Christmas issue. So if you want to go out and have a proper good read of it, they analysed the drinking in all Bond movies from... like 62, I think, to...
Sure, yeah.
When would the last one have been? A couple of years ago?
Yeah, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, something like that. And they found that Bond not only drank to excess, but he participated in super dangerous activities whilst drunk, including helicopter gunfights.
Yes.
Deactivating nuclear weapons, just to name a few.
I remember when he hooked up with Denise Richards and they were watching through a... satellite and Q turns to M and goes, well, I guess Christmas comes more than once a year. It was something like that. Or maybe that, Bond said, I don't know, it was cheesy.
Was Pierce? Yeah, it was a Pierce
peak
one.
Peak Pierce Brosnan. I think it was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't the one where he drives the car backwards on ice.
I've seen that one.
That one was...
I have a feeling most of my Bond watching has been Pierce.
Pierce might be my favourite because he was the one in my teenage years going, GoldenEye's so good. And that game... Oh.
Oh, yeah, the game's phenomenal. Mm. Not that I've played it for years, but I remember fond memories.
It holds up.
So they were looking at his drinks and the potency with which he likes to enjoy an alcoholic beverage.
Sure.
And he's ready to basically drink an alcoholic beverage at any moment. He'll have mainly, as you know, martinis, but he goes for a bit of champagne. Occasionally he has had some beer, but probably not that often because he can't get drunk enough on it.
Sure.
The researchers said basically he drinks whatever he can get his hands on, but still with an ongoing preference for cocktails. But we've been seeing more beer in the past decade or so in Bond movies.
Well, he's more macho now.
He's very blokey, although he's always had an element of blokiness.
Yeah, but it's been more swagger.
It goes in and out. But, yeah, they're sort of saying that maybe his job should be reconsidered, or at least his workplace should give him a stern talking to.
Well, he's an agent that doesn't follow the rules.
But he gets the job done in the end as well. So Blind Eye, they've been turning it for how many ever?
So where's that study from?
Otago, a University of Otago.
Oh, do you know where that is? Would that be in America?
It sounds Canadian, doesn't it?
It does. I have a feeling that it's a cultural thing as well, because being that James Bond is British, after work, every British person goes to the pub.
Actually, you want to know something? I've just done the research and Otago's in New Zealand.
Oh, hey, bro, James Bond, you've been drinking too much. Hey, you best settle down. You're pussed.
And hello to our New Zealand listeners.
Hello. Let's catch up out on the deck.
I'm going to wear some jandals. I can't do the accent in my head right now.
Ah, that's all right. Let's put it in the chili bun for later.
Ah, brilliant.
Grab some turpentine, acetone and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you found in the news?
From two pieces of news that made me go, huh.
I like that.
The film everyone's been clamoring for but didn't even know, there's a Between the Two Ferns, the movie, coming to Netflix. You remember Between Two Ferns?
I remember.
Zach Galifianakis's weird...
Was that Funny or
show.
Die?
It was.
Yeah.
So this is a Funny or Die production for Netflix.
For Netflix.
I have no idea about anything to do with it. I don't
How's
know
it
if
gonna
it's
going to be a movie.
I don't know. I don't know if it's an origin story for the Ferns.
Maybe.
Maybe there's narrative around Zach getting ready for a big interview.
Look, I'm going to throw this out there and I'm going to suggest that we're going to see a lot of big cameos.
Oh, yeah. He's had Obama on.
Right. Didn't he have Hillary as well?
Yep.
It's going to be amazing.
He's done some good ones.
Even though I cannot quite imagine what it's going to be, I have total faith that I will enjoy it when I watch it.
Yeah. Even if it's just an hour of him doing weird interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done with that. And the other one made me go, huh, was Celebrity Deathmatch. Do you remember that MTV stop-motion claymation show from the late 90s, early 2000s?
I was going to say it was huge, but it was successful, and I feel like it was around for a good chunk of time.
Well, they've done two. There was one initial batch that I think was four seasons, and then it went away, and then it came back for two.
Okay.
It's been gone for quite some time. Mm. Ice Cube is bringing it back along with MTV. Because when you think of revival, you think Ice Cube.
I always think Ice Cube with revivals.
Yeah.
So is he getting the same creators on board, the people who were involved originally?
I don't know too many details. This
I wonder
was just
who's got the rights for it.
Well, I believe MTV still hold the rights because they aired it. I don't know about creative rights and stuff like that. So they might be licensing it, but they might be getting plenty of the original people back. But I figure for the social media age... It's going to look... They're going to have to do something quite different with it.
I hope so. I could imagine that the only reason why it would have gotten the go-ahead is because it has refreshed and updated and become relevant for today's audience.
The thing that's difficult, though, is you've got something like South Park that can be so easily reactive and it takes six days to turn around an episode.
They're not going to be able to do that.
Not at all, especially with stop motion. It's going to be much, much slower. So, you know, it's... When Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly were having their big rivalry recently, it would have been cool to jump on that and do something with that.
It'd be perfect for that audience.
Yeah, but I have a feeling it's going to take them 9 to 12 months to get something out.
Yeah, okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they go about it.
Are they going to have Selena Gomez fight
Justin
Hailey Bieber?
Oh,
his new wife.
I forgot about her. I think I saw her in an ad once. Oh, yeah, Hailey or Hailey?
Yeah.
I think I saw her in an ad for clothes. Like internet,
she has done things.
Website clothes.
Is she on Drop the Mic with Method Man? I know it's a Baldwin daughter. I can't remember if it's Haley or
the other one. Because the other one is Ireland, who is Alex's daughter.
Yeah, not that one.
Okay. Well, maybe it was.
So many damn Baldwins.
I couldn't keep up with them in the 90s, and I'm struggling now.
Mm.
I saw, I don't know, these are a couple of trailers I've got here. Maybe I'll hang off to
hang on to those. Yeah, I've got trailer section. Stuff too, but a few other things. So Jodie Whittaker, a.k.a. Doctor Who, mm-hmm. current incarnation, she's confirmed that she will be Doctor Who for season 12, which
good.
Is great.
That's awesome.
But we won't be getting that till 2020. They're doing the take a year off again thing.
Wow.
They seem to do that every second or third year now.
That surprises me because she's only had one season.
Yeah.
As Doctor, and it sort of surprises me that they're going to...
Well, they took a year before Peter Capaldi was stuck into it properly. They banked a lot of content, and then they took a year off in the midst of him.
So it's not unusual.
No. Mm. No, they do this. It's disappointing, but they do it.
Mm.
On the flip of not disappointing, Disney have finally shared some plans of what their intentions are with Marvel across their theme parks, which is, there's been lots of rumors about this for years, and
you've
bits and pieces have sprung up.
Had a little, some discussions, some on the podcast and some off.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Hong Kong already has an Iron Man ride, which is kind of like, if you've been on Star Tours at Disneyland, it's a motion simulator.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an Ant-Man one that's opening soon, I think in Paris. I can't quite remember.
Okay.
But basically, they announced this morning that their intention is that Disney California Adventure, which is in California, obviously, they will be getting a Spider-Man ride to go with the Guardians of the Galaxy ride they've already got. And that all these rides, kind of like their movies, are interconnected storyline-wise.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so they're setting up that, like, this is a S.H.I.E.L.D. exercise.
That's cool.
And that they've got operatives around the world. So Iron Man is operating out of Hong Kong at the moment, and he's fighting against AIM, Advanced Ideas Mechanics.
Mm.
That Ant-Man will be taking on miniaturized Hydra agents. Well, this is, and Spider-Man, they haven't said much more other than you'll be swinging around New York City.
This is going to have people absolutely psyched.
Yes.
This sounds really fun.
And it gives them a great excuse for tying in character meet and greets, because those can be the operatives in that city at the time.
Mm.
And just working in a lot of narrative where they don't necessarily need to build tons of facades and new locations and stuff like that if they've got storylines happening.
Mm.
So, I don't know, this is normally the theme park lands or whatever, it's all about being self-contained, and you walk in there and there's things called berms, which are the big trees or walls that don't let you see out into the real world.
Mm.
Whereas this kind of seems to be flipping that notion of instead that you're just experiencing one part of it, and there's a lot more out there in the rest of the world, which is, it's cool.
Also, on a business side, wow.
Yep.
You have got people now wanting to go to every single Disneyland all over the world.
Correct. I want to go and see them all.
Yeah.
And it's a very
cool. And you're not the only one.
No. And
yeah.
I mean, for years, business has been about putting them all in one place and getting them to come to you there. And then this is instead.
This is very clever.
Yeah.
This might be the way forward. You might actually see them adopting this with other franchises that they've got.
Well, look, all this stuff should be open by 2022.
That's actually very soon.
That's very soon. And I'm saying now, if there's not a Pokemon Go style tying them all together, I'll eat my hat. Because there's got to be some sort of interactive element that's your game while you're waiting in line. And
that's very clear. Yeah, because those lines can be hectic.
Yeah, well, they said that Star Wars, which that's going to be opening in July, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which is, that's just over 6 months. That's, seven.
Yes. They're predicting that Disneyland will be at capacity by 10 a.m. every day for 3 months, and that you'll have minimum six-hour wait times for each of the rides, not for both.
Don't go in summer.
Yeah, so if you can hold off for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
On that one.
Maybe wait till, I don't know, 2020. Get in there in Feb.
The show with a car that time travels at 88, but blows up if it drops below 50. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
And then the other one, which was a brief trailer.
Mm.
We're going to move into trailers, but I feel you should have opinions on this.
Mm.
Was the new trailer for Far Cry New Dawn.
Yeah.
So
now
did you take away from that?
So I played till the end of Far Cry 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said at the time I was a bit, I wasn't that impressed with the ending. But now that I know that there's a continuation, I'm a little bit more on board. And then grab the DLC, because...
Is it I think it's a new game.
Oh, sorry, it is too.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that dragon one they did.
Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon. Yeah, it's that, which it's always like their Far Cry 0.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this I don't know how other people who played it are thinking, but for me, it's if they do it right, it's redeeming 5, the end of 5.
Sure. So is this going to be the Eden's Gate project they were right, do you think?
It's the Eden's Gate, what happens after gets real. I don't want to give away in case people are still sort of playing Far Cry 5, but yeah. No.
Yeah.
I know. It's probably just people who are buying it 30% off.
Sure. Well, yeah. that'll be out February.
I'll probably pick it up and give
me
it
too.
A whirl. Yeah.
Meh.
I quite like Far Cry. It allows you to do stupid stuff.
It does.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what I've been playing this week?
What?
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
And?
It's really great.
Isn't there thousands of
there's so many people? There's so many people. I've only played for about 2 hours and I've unlocked 8 or 9 characters. So I'm up to about 19, but I think there's 174
there's so many
main characters.
When I heard that amount.
1,300 like backup sprites, spirits.
Well, that to me, I thought was a joke initially when I heard that there were that going to be that many. I was like, what?
Ultimate.
I know, but still, there are going to be people who are going to grab a hold of one, absolutely perfect playing that, and not touch any of the others.
Yep. I'm hanging to unlock King K. Rool, who was the Bowser-sized lizard, crocodile, whatever, from Donkey Kong. I have a feeling he'll be a good, fun character.
There was talk about they're already analysing which characters are better once in water. Stuff like that.
There's a lot of strategy.
So many strategies and tactics, man. So many people who played it back when they were sort of teenagers or early uni or college years, they're jumping back on board with their mates. Of course they are. 100%.
Dip catch back up. In.
Yeah.
2 thumbs up from me.
Anything else before we get into the trailer section?
Nah, that'll do, eh? There's some good trailers and stuff to talk about.
Great trailers. Look, if I can jump on in first and say
please do.
The Stranger Things Season 3 teaser trailer came out. The music, the red, the black, it was all there. And all it did was just flash up the titles of each episode.
Mm.
So we've got Susie, Do You Copy? The Mall Rats, which made me think of Mall Rats. The Chase of the Missing Lifeguard, The Sauna Test, The Source, The Birthday, The Bite, The Battle of Star Court, and it ends with, in the summer of 1985, The Adventure Continues.
Ooh.
But what I love is that there's no, you can't get any context.
No.
So they're not giving anything away, but I guarantee by the time you finish watching that whole season and you'll look back at the names and you'll go, oh my gosh, I actually did give away a lot.
Sure.
But it's just that we don't have the context. So we've got to wait. Geez, I tell you what, next year is a big year for television.
It really is. Some great stuff. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, that one, Stranger Things. I'm pretty sure we've got Orange is the New Black final season. Game of Thrones, of course, is final as well.
Sure.
Got a lot of big stuff happening.
Whew.
But no Doctor Who.
No Doctor Who.
Would you watch trailer-wise?
Sure. Okay, so the two big movie trailers that I saw, one was a little something called Captain Marvel.
I've never heard of that.
I don't know. And the other one was Avengers Endgame.
Now, that's the one that I've not caught yet.
You might be the only person that hasn't because it was the most viewed trailer in history.
Oh, okay.
Boom, very, very quickly.
How long is it?
About a minute and a half.
So it's standard?
Yeah.
Yeah, standard time.
Do you think it tells you anything?
No, of course it wouldn't.
Nope.
No.
Just a lot of people looking pretty sad. We see Tony is in space. He's
well, that's where we left him.
It is, but he's seemingly alone. I don't think he is, but he's run out of food. He's run out of water. He's recording his last will message to Pepper to send back to Earth. We see Steve Rogers, one tear rolling down his cheek.
Aww.
It's a bit much. It made me have feels.
Aww.
And he's talking with Black Widow about how this has got to work. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, you know what else they're going to do. So I don't know what that is. But it finishes with Ant-Man, like, ding-dong ringing the bell at Avengers Mansion, and they see him through the security camera. He's like, hey, I don't know if you guys remember me, but we were at that thing at the airport in Germany with that fight. I've been gone a while, but I think I could help. I
think you might need me.
And Steve sees this, and he says, is this an old message? And Natasha says, no, that's the front door. So he's obviously gotten out of the quantum realm where he was stuck at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. But more importantly, in the security footage, we can see his van behind him. And his van is the thing that he had built the miniaturized quantum tunneler in. So it means that he's still got the way to get into the quantum realm. And I'm thinking that's where we're going to go. And quantum realm is where he got warned to stay away from time holes.
100% going to take part in that.
Yep, so there's going to be some jumping around in time and high-fiving. And
yep.
Yes, please.
It's all of the things that you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Oh, really cool. And the one before, of course, you were talking about, Endgame.
Captain Marvel.
Which, I remember when we watched the first trailer.
Yes.
And she punches the old lady.
Yes.
And we were like, there's more to that.
Yes.
And of course, the second trailer
we saw
us
a bit more.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of fighting between the Kree and Skrull, two different alien races. Skrulls are shape changers, and I think we've discussed on the show of who could potentially be a shape changer. But the end of the trailer sees Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, both eyes talking to a cat. That ain't a cat.
What do you think it is?
Well, it could be a Skrull in disguise,
mm-hmm.
or in the comics, Captain Marvel for a while had a cat that was actually an alien called a Flarken.
A Flarken?
Flarken.
Sounds almost German.
Yeah, it might be Flarken. I don't know. Flarken, Flarken. Read it how
both
you like.
Both sound German.
But this thing has like crazy number of teeth and acts kind of like an interdimensional wormhole, so she can use it to get around space real quick. So it would be a very handy thing to have if, for some reason, you had to disappear in space and leave a pager with someone on Earth in case they really needed you for help, like what happened at the end of Avengers, to get back quickly.
Oh.
But on the other hand, cat might go rogue. I reckon that might be how Fury loses his eye. Maybe this alien cat scratches his eye out.
I'm sure by the end of this movie, there will only be one eye.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact that you're being given what I assume is going to be a storyline or a theme throughout the movie, in that her conflict of, I've been here before, this is like, what's going on? I feel like I know what to do.
Yes.
That's cool.
Marvel have a lot of films with parental questions or parental issues, and that's going to very much extend to this. Maybe not in terms of who her biological parents are, but in terms of
just origin.
What the hell is she?
Yeah, exactly.
Was she human that got Kree blood? Was she Kree brainwashed into thinking she's human? Is she Skrull and she's been brainwashed into thinking she's Kree but actually human?
Who am I?
Mm.
I can't cope.
Questions.
Two solid trailers. Well,
all those questions. That's why Brie Larson doesn't smile.
Oh.
Yeah.
She can't cope.
No.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I saw we were talking about Doctor Who and how we won't get a Doctor Who till 2020.
Yes.
But in the meantime, we will get a Doctor Who. We'll get that New Year's Eve special. And the trailer for that has come out. I can't remember. It would be no longer than a minute long.
Mm.
It doesn't really tell you too much. It just sort of tells you that it looks like she's about to fight or go up against one of the hardest battles and baddies that the universe can throw at her.
Ugh.
I know, right?
Ugh.
Looked fun.
And I hope she makes it through.
I wonder.
Being that it's a holiday special, I imagine she will.
And being that she's coming back in 2020, I imagine she will.
Yeah, I don't see a regeneration on the cards yet.
Mm-mm. Oh, people would be not happy if
not
that happened.
Happy. Too soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Too soon. I saw a movie poster this morning that dropped just before we started recording.
Yeah.
And it made the whole internet go, kind of unimpressed. A poster for Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. So it's got Ben Schwartz from Parks and Recreation and other things. He is going to be voicing Sonic, which means he'll be a very deadpan, Seinfeld-esque New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing looks wrong.
In all the wrong ways.
Oh, it's in silhouette, but it's got human length arms and legs instead of Sonic's super skinny stumps and stuff.
Yeah, he literally just had two poles or even straws as legs.
Yeah, it looks like Sonic never misses leg day now.
Oh, no.
So stay tuned for that. I wasn't a fan. and bothered me somewhat. there was a trailer that dropped for a film called Brightburn, which is James Gunn's secret project. You might remember him from Guardians of the Galaxy and things like that. And it's the story of what if Superman, when he crashed to Earth, was all good and was being raised by human people, and then as a prepubescent teen discovered that he was an alien and it sent him insane on a murderous rampage. How do you stop...
A slightly dark way.
Well, it's kind of like the Omen... with Damien, you know, the
angst-ridden teenager version.
Yeah, the Antichrist, but Antichrist with Superman's powers.
It's interesting.
Yes.
I wonder how that's going to pan out.
Poorly for everyone.
Yeah, but movie-wise, it sounds like an intriguing story.
It's a straight-up horror movie.
Yeah.
So I'm on board for that. There was the trailer for Netflix's next potentially really big hit, a show called The Umbrella Academy, which is coming February 12th. When it kicks off, and it's based on a comic book called called The Umbrella Academy, which is started in mid-2000s.
What's it about?
Well, it's written by Gerard Way, who's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Wow, that's a name I haven't heard for a while.
I know, it's very convoluted and weird, but he used to work at DC Comics before he was a rock star.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so he's an intern there and all this sort of stuff, and he's obsessed with comics, and he's written various different ones.
So he's still been writing as his career in music has been going on.
Very much so. Cool. So we're going to discuss Spider-Man a bit later. Mm-hmm. One of the characters he came up with is in this Spider-Man movie.
Nice.
Yeah, like a techno anime giant robot Spider-Man.
Amazing.
Yes. So the Umbrella Academy is the story of one day 43 women spontaneously gave birth. They weren't pregnant.
That's not supposed to happen.
No.
Can't all be Marys.
It was very odd. And so this rich, like a billionaire, eccentric guy adopts seven of them to raise them kind of X-Men style.
Oh, okay. I can see where this is going.
Well, not really, because then the story flashes forward like 25 years and we never see them growing up and they all hate each other now and they're all spies or superheroes or operatives in some sense of the word, most of them anyway. And the father is murdered and they have to come back together to work out A, what happened, and B, how to then stop the apocalypse that's about to happen.
Okay, you've got me.
So it's a cool
setup. You
said
the name Apocalypse, the word, I mean, I'm watching.
Ellen Page is one of the main characters.
Oh, yeah, right.
Robert Sheehan, who was from Misfits, fantastic British actor. Tom Hopper, people might know as, I've forgotten his name, from Game of Thrones, the idiot's son that when Daenerys shows up with the dragons and makes everyone kneel. And he's like, I'm not going to kneel.
And you're like, okay, well, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him.
I can't remember his name either, but...
Yeah. In real life, his name is Tom Hopper. And the character, he plays a guy whose head got surgically attached to a gorilla's body and lives inside a space suit.
Sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just space gorilla boy.
Yeah.
You know.
Standard.
So it's going to be a really weird show.
Like it.
There's a lot of trippy elements. Ellen Page's character should have some very awesome musical abilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
They've got a lot riding on it. It's big budget. It's potentially Stranger Things size.
And it's released next year?
Yeah, February 12th, I believe.
Oh, that's not far off at all.
Not long at all.
Okay, I'll be watching that.
Yep. Watership Down. You might remember I had to study that at school. I'm sure a lot of people did. About the rabbits flying in New Warren. But that's kind of what it's about. It's really about capitalism, socialism. There's a new mini-series coming to the BBC.
All right.
It drops on the 22nd of December, but then it drops here on Netflix on the 23rd.
We're getting a lot of stuff over the summer holidays.
I'm very excited for a CGI live-action Watership Down. I think I saw Benedict Cumberbatch involved. It sounds like the sort of thing he'd be in. But a lot of those names you'd expect. I don't think James Corden's in there because he's already done a Talking Rabbit movie this year.
Okay. Yeah. Only one.
Just
only
one.
One per year.
That's right. And two more dates. American Gods Season 2 is dropping March 10th.
Nice.
We got confirmation on that. And Titans, which has been the DC Universe app exclusive to this point, will be hitting Australian Netflix on January 11th.
Ooh, wow,
which
okay.
Is good because you're not really supposed to be able to get DC Universe down here without VPN.
But we do.
But we did it.
Cool.
We did it. I have somehow one trailer worked. Left. You got many more trailers?
No, I'm done.
I got one
trailers.
Last one, and I kept the big one for last.
The biggest?
Yep. So
bigger than Endgame? What?
Well, maybe okay. not. Okay. Yep. I might be hyping too much. But TBS is a TV channel that started doing some really interesting things over the last couple of years.
And it's been around for a while.
It's been going for a long time, but they've been doing some really interesting stuff. They've got a show coming called Miracle Workers, and it stars Steve Buscemi as God.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe as a low-level angel.
Okay.
It's a workplace comedy. God decides that he's sick of us and he's going to kill us all off. And Daniel Radcliffe, as this low-level angel, has to try and convince him otherwise.
Wow.
And it looks like it could be kind of like...
So it's a series? TV series?
Yeah, a limited series. Okay. So I think it's going to be 6 episodes and that's it. It's done. And it looks kind of like a mix between The Office and Bruce/Evan Almighty.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Steve Buscemi, long hair as God. And the trailer they've shown has him complaining about how typhoons and hurricanes should just be named after the sounds they make. Because that would be, is it swishy swishy or is this the whoosh whoosh? It looks great.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. Oh, my gosh. I've got so much on the list, literally just from the first half of this podcast.
I'm glad there's no Doctor Who on because I've got enough.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going. I'm going to have to take time off work to be able to watch all of this stuff or just watch it at work.
Yeah, we've got to find a way to make this work.
Right. Get our timetables out.
We don't already.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching this week?
I watch lots, but I'm only going to tell you a few things because I keep secrets.
You're such a secret keeper.
First one quickly, the Impractical Jokers had their Christmas special finale for the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a live special, but their punishment had been pre-recorded and it was a doozy. Sal, who is my favourite to watch lose, who's the really panicky guy.
Yeah, great. Good panic during one of those sort of impractical jokes are always entertaining to watch.
Yeah, well, they decided it was the season of giving, so that he needed to give. So he got blindfolded and earplugs put in and didn't know what was happening. And then, you know, earpiece tells him to take him out and he's in a cage. And there's wooden panels on the sides of the cage like a present, uh-huh. And he's holding a box of fried chicken.
Okay.
And then you hear this bumping, and it shows from the outside there's two huge brown bears ripping apart...
What is this, Far Cry or something?
Well, they're ripping apart their present, which is the box around the cage, the tiny cage he's in the middle of their enclosure, holding a bucket of fried chicken, and he has to feed the bears... So you've seen shark diving. In Australia, we have crocodile diving where you can go in a glass cage and feed crocs. I've never heard of bear diving.
Oh, my gosh.
He does not cope well.
I don't know if I would, to be honest with you.
As close as we are now, it's closer than... like he's.
So basically across a table.
Yeah. He's like in a phone booth. Oh like gosh. He's in a phone booth cage. Feeding fried chicken to these
bears. Did they stand up? Because they're bloody tall when they
stand
up.
The bears start fighting each other.
Oh, my gosh.
And all his friends are up on this platform above pegging fried chicken at him. So it's hitting the mesh of the cage and splatting on him. It was one of the best punishments they've ever done.
How long do you reckon he was in that?
Oh, maximum 5 minutes.
That's probably the longest 5 minutes of his entire life.
I don't know. They've done some rough gear to him before.
Okay.
But... that I put it up there as things I don't think I could do. They've had other ones on there that, oh, yeah, I could get through that. Or, oh, gee, that'd suck and it'd be embarrassing. But that was full on bad.
Can you imagine the stuff his therapist has to talk him through?
Yep.
Unbelievable. That sounds hilarious.
It was very good.
Well, I'm going to start off with not necessarily something I watched, but something I... No, I was going to say read, but I would have lied. Something I listened to, an audiobook. Now, I've been a big fan of the author Jasper Ford for years.
Sure.
He did all the Thursday Next books. He's done some nursery crimes. He even started, now this is years and years ago, and if you're a Jasper Ford fan, you will know what I'm talking about immediately. We've been waiting for the sequel for a book for years and years.
Hmm.
It was called Shades of Grey before 50 Shades of Grey came out.
So it's just one shade of grey.
Yeah, it was just one. And it was all about almost like race and like class as well.
Yep.
But it was all based on what colours and what spectrum of the colour, what do we call it, circle, window, I don't know, that you can see. So if you can only see grey, you're the lowest. You're the working class. If you can see, you know, blue or purple. I think vaguely recall purple. If you could see purple, you were the top class, the high class. Yeah. And it all sort of was weird, and this world that he created, and you were intrigued to find out what happened. Why is suddenly all of this here? And there were it kind of felt like it was post apocalyptic. And it was supposed to be one of three. He's never written the other two. Mm. He keeps saying he's going to.
Right.
He's been writing all this other stuff, including one that I've listened to on audiobook called Early Riser. Now, in this world, every winter, the human population just goes into hibernation.
Sure, has a nap.
Yeah, for the whole entire winter, because winter's pretty hardcore. Mm. And there are some people whose job it is to stay awake during winter.
Sure.
And kind of look after the nappers, the people. There are people who are dozers who are sort of unable to go to sleep. And there's this whole weird world because no one's supposed to dream anymore. But then some people have been dreaming, mm-hmm. but they've been dreaming the exact same dream. Mm-hmm. And there's this one guy and he's trying to find out why. Really cool story. Nice. I really enjoyed it. If you want to read it in book form, I saw it at my local library. I think it came out earlier this year. Or I'm thinking Christmas present. If you want to get someone a cool book, this is really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And anything Just Before does, I'm on board with. So that's my first suggestion.
Nice.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
The other one is that we've had night number one of the week-long DC Universe crossover.
Because we're recording this a couple of days before it actually comes out.
Yes, so we had last night was the first episode, which was The Flash, which was very odd because Flash is normally on Tuesday nights, but this was on Sunday night. And they made a joke about that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, cool. They were like, man, this week's been busy. It's not even Tuesday. It's like, oh, you guys, you jokers.
You crazy kids.
This one is called Elseworlds. And I'm confused, but what? In a good way. Because I don't, like, they've set up a little bit of what's to come for the whole crossover, but that was just a lot of teasing. Mm-hmm. There's a character called the Monitor, who is someone that can see across all universes, and he seems to be interacting and bothering things in ours. Mm. Jeremy Davis is that his name? Yeah, Jeremy Davies, who was in Saving Private Ryan. He was the dweeby journalist.
Yeah.
He was also on Lost. He's playing an Arkham Asylum psychologist.
Cool. Ah, nice.
Who has some crazy ideas about eugenics, of how we could breed more superheroes and stuff. Anyway, him being there is going to be our connection of how Batwoman comes about, because I think they're going to need to go to Gotham City and talk to this guy.
A few little photos and whatnot, screen caps of her debut.
Yes. But the episode itself was great. It's kind of a Freaky Friday situation where Green Arrow has woken up as the Flash and Flash has woken up as Green Arrow.
Oh, cool. I love Freaky Friday stories.
But they didn't change bodies.
Right.
It's just reality's been written, so everyone thinks Oliver, who is Green Arrow, has always been the Flash.
Wow.
And he's married to the Flash's wife and
twist.
Is in all their photos. And like, it's really confusing. So they.
But does it make sense whilst watching it?
It makes complete sense to us
it's
as the viewer, but no one in the show believes it except for these two guys.
Oh, so they're aware.
So they have to jump across to Earth 38, like Reality 38, which is where Supergirl and Superman live. And when they arrive there, the music from Smallville plays. And I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't watched Smallville in years. But it just instantly took me back. And it's why I appreciate these crossovers, because they do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So Supergirl can confirm who they are and comes back to Earth and helps with that. So then we've had Smallville appear, which mm-hmm. has never been acknowledged in any other DC show. And they've shown that Flash 1990 TV series exists now as Earth 90.
Okay.
And it gets ripped to hell by the Monitor.
Oh, right, okay.
So it was like, here's Earth 90, it's dead now.
So, at least you know where it sits.
I know. So I'm very excited. Tonight we'll get Arrow. Tomorrow night we'll be Supergirl. Where we go from there, I don't know. And Legends is doing a crossover with itself. They broke time again.
Oh, right, okay.
It's a thing
I couldn't
figure
out what that meant.
It's
right.
A thing they do.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to interact with themselves back in the past, but also a version of themselves as puppets.
Get enough of it. Oh, puppets?
Yeah. Or one, like 2 years ago when someone died, they made a grief therapy puppet of that character so the rest of them could talk, and the rest of them got real angry about that puppet and locked away in a box. Last week there was a spirit of an 1880s serial killer voiced by Paul Rubens.
Oh, yeah.
Pee Wee Herman.
Yep.
It was great, but the spirit... They thought they got rid of it, but it looks like it's gone inside this therapy puppet instead. So they're going to get haunted, like Chucky style. This show's so weird.
But it keeps you watching.
Legends of Tomorrow
is weird for that. It's good for that reason.
The best weird show on television. Their whole model, like the motto of their show is, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just try that. Let's have a dance number in the middle of things.
Because we can.
Therapy puppets or murderous magical unicorns.
That's... a sentence?
Oh, they have a unicorn that, like, gores people.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Now that I think about it, kind of feel like unicorns would be angry bastards.
Yeah. Pegasus, different thing. Because flight is glorious. Mm-hmm. And if you can fly, you can chill the fuck out. But if you're an angry horse with a horn on your head...
Of course you're going to use it. Why would you not?
You'd be foolish not to.
Anything else before we get our special guest in?
I watched Flight of the Conchords live in London.
Funny?
It was all right. If you enjoy Flight of the Conchords, you'd probably enjoy this. If you don't enjoy them, stay away.
Okay.
It is more of the same.
Perfect.
Great to hear a few new songs. Some of them were very funny. Great to hear them going through the old hits. They're old.
Okay. They would be old now, actually.
They acknowledge that a lot.
Okay.
Yep.
They're self-aware.
Yes. And they tell some great tour stories.
I do like a good tour story.
But there's a great one involving a complimentary muffin. I'll say no more.
Just when you hear the words complimentary muffin, listen out.
You will hear the words complimentary muffin many times.
Perfect. Mm. Special guest?
I think so.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Hi, Shay.
Hi.
You have got some very important stuff you want to talk about. You want to recommend some movies for people to go and see at the movies. What movies have you seen this week?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm.
And what was the other one you saw?
The Nutcracker and the Four Rounds.
Ooh, now this one's very Christmassy. Maybe we should talk about the Christmassy one first.
I think so.
So, The Nutcracker, what's it about?
It's about this girl called Clara, and she had, and it's a bit hard to explain.
That's okay.
She's on a journey.
Okay.
To find this key, because her mother gave her a music box, but there was a keyhole.
Oh, so she can't open the musical box without the key.
Yeah, so she has to go on a journey into a different world.
To find the key.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, if I vaguely recall Nutcracker, she meets all these different characters and...
Yeah.
Is there dancing in it?
A little bit, not too much.
Because I know that the Nutcracker is a famous ballet. So obviously in a famous ballet there's lots of dancing. So I wondered how much dancing there would be in the movie. So it's just a little bit.
Yeah, that's like one scene with dancing.
Oh, not much at all.
Is it a scary movie or good for families?
Good for families and a bit scary for children.
Yeah, what sort of stuff?
The sugar plum fairy gets bad in the end.
Ooh.
So that's a little bit scary, but not too bad?
Not too bad, but because Clara gets so nice, talks so nice, it... The shrinker turns over to the sugar plum fairy and shrinks her back into a doll.
Oh.
So it all worked out well. Would you say it'd be best to watch The Nutcracker before Christmas, or can you watch it after Christmas?
You can do either way.
Okay, fantastic. Now, what was the other movie you saw? You saw a special Spider-Man. I didn't think there was a Spider-Man movie out yet.
It was because there was a preview.
We went to a special preview screening on the weekend, didn't we?
Yeah.
Nice. Was it packed?
Not so many people there.
No, there was maybe 20 people. It was in gold class and we went early on a Sunday morning. But what did you think of it?
It was very good.
Who was your favourite?
Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen?
Yeah.
So, to bring you up to speed, this is the 7th Spider-Man movie. However, Peter Parker is not the star of this movie.
What?
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen is the star?
No.
No?
She's one of the stars. The main star is a character named Miles Morales.
Right.
Who is just as much Spider-Man in the comics these days. He's a half Latino, half African American.
You've spoken of him before. So is this the introduction for him?
Very much so. And so the whole conceit of this film is that there's a Spider-Man in every universe, and it's what makes them different that makes them special, and any one of us could be Spider-Man. So every other time you've seen a superhero movie, it's been about that one person who gets plucked, or her god powers, or something that makes them rise up, whereas the entire point of this film is that no matter who you are, there is some element about you that makes you unique, that you could be Spider-Man.
That's cool. And Spider-Gwen, is she the first girl Spider-Man?
Yes.
So what was great about her?
She was the only one with the white costume.
Was she in her own universe?
So this is the crazy thing about this film. It's completely animated. And the first half an hour, we'll say, feels like graffiti, hip-hop. It's following Miles. So it's street art. Because he's a graffiti artist.
Is he really good at it, Shay?
Yeah.
And then things start getting weird. There's an experiment that goes wrong and rips a hole in reality. So reality start getting smooshed together.
Uh-oh.
And things glitch. And you have Peter B. Parker arrive from a different universe, who's a Spider-Man in his early 40s, who is over it. He's overweight.
Yeah.
He's going through a messy divorce.
Does he still wear the costume?
Yeah, but
it doesn't look so good.
No, and not willingly. And he basically looks like a hobo.
Okay.
And they call him Hobo Spider-Man. So he comes across, he's in this universe where Peter Parker, as we know, and it's very heavily alluded that this is Tobey Maguire, Peter Parker. He dies 3 minutes into the film.
That's quick.
And there's this recurring joke throughout the film of every time we meet a new Spider-Man, they're like, look, you've heard this a million times, but, and then it flashes back to their origin and they give a quick summary of their origin.
Oh, I like that.
And the first time it happens that with Peter Parker, you're like, yeah, we know this. Yeah. But that's the point. It keeps showing this, that it doesn't matter the circumstances. Mm. These people rise to being a hero. Each of these universes has their own very distinct look and feel. So you've got
So Shay, you can tell that you're in a different universe seeing a different Spider-Man. It's not confusing?
Well, we're always in the same universe. We're always in Miles' universe. They come across to us.
Oh, okay.
But they bring things with them. So they're glitching and stuff all the time. So Miles looks like cell shading, like very modern art, whereas Peter B. Parker looks like a 90s animation. You've got Penny Parker, who's the futuristic robot one that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like in a Voltron-style robot.
Nice.
Spider-Man Noir, who's Nicolas Cage, who's a fast-talking detective from the 30s.
Now, I've heard from other people who have watched it, they've had a lot of time for Nicolas Cage.
He's so good in it.
Yeah.
In the same way that I loved him in Kick-Ass, because he was channeling Adam West Batman.
Mm-hmm.
This one he's channeling Raymond Chandler, like old school detective.
Nice.
Like, his voice is great, but everything to do with him is black and white.
Okay.
And looks old school. You've got Spider-Gwen, who's punk rock as all hell, and she's drawn with scraggly lines, and the world breaks around her when her elbows go, like, she's all sharp lines.
Oh, so her elbows break things.
Yeah.
Then you've got Spider-Ham, who's voiced by John Mulaney, who's this amazing New York comedian, and he's drawn to look like one of the Looney Tunes, and he comes from, like, that 60s Hanna-Barbera hand-drawn animation,
nice.
And that's his style. And all of these are together on screen and should not work at all, but for some reason it really does.
It works really well.
Like, it feels like Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, right.
So instead of real world, they've got this cel-shaded, almost real world.
That's sitting in one... So, they're all sitting in that one world.
And they all look remarkably different, but they somehow still work together. And when they glitch, it's all computer glitches, and they're using art, like comic book art techniques from every decade. So
very
there's
clever.
Kirby spots when things are meant to be intergalactic, which is dots that when you look up close, you can see the dots, but when you move away, it gives a weird textured look to things. When Miles is having teenage angst, he has like caption boxes pop up so we can read his thoughts. Cool. And there are times when people talk and speech bubbles come up. You get the Bam Pow Batman effects happening and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool.
But there were some parts that made you laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Like what?
When Miles first gets bit by the spider, he doesn't know how to let go when he sticks to things, does he?
Yeah.
And that starts off a little bit embarrassing and gets more and more embarrassing until he's almost nude on the outside of a building.
Yes.
And he maybe runs into a girl that he likes and gets his hand stuck to her hair.
Yeah.
Does she get annoyed or?
Yeah, she gets really annoyed. Annoyed. She is Spider-Gwen in the movie.
Maybe she has to have a haircut.
Uh-oh.
Just makes her look more punk rock.
Fair enough.
But it was a really good film. I would hazard to say maybe the best Spider-Man since Spider-Man 2, which is my personal high point. It's the most fun I've had at the movies in a long time.
Oh, that's great.
Because it's just, they clearly went in with very low expectations for people. They're like, another Spider-Man animated, you know, all this sort of stuff. Mm. And instead, they've just swung for the fences. It's from the same people that made the 21 Jump Street reboots, mm-hmm. that were very creative, mm-hmm. and the Lego movie.
Oh, okay. So there's a fair bit of talent behind this.
Yeah, so it's
storytelling and also, you know, movie making.
And making a very adult product for children.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed because this little lady is six and you followed all of it, didn't you? Even though they were jumping around alternate universes and multiple versions of the same character existing in the same place, they made it all very clear and easy to be understood.
So, Shay, if you had to recommend to kids, let's say they can only watch one movie before Christmas, which one would you say would be better to watch?
That's a hard one.
What, out of the two, which one would you go and see again?
The Nutcracker or Spider-Man, because they're both really good.
So it's almost impossible to pick one.
Yeah.
Well, you told me you want to go and see Nutcracker again with Mum.
Yeah.
And you want to see Spider-Man with your friend.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're going to be busy.
Oh, we've still got The Grinch and Wreck-It Ralph and, oh.
Yeah.
So many things.
You're going to have to let us know what those movies are like as well.
Yeah.
You want to come back in and give us another movie review?
Yeah.
She's getting really brave, you know. The last two nights she's watched Harry Potter 4 and 5.
You're getting through the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. I thought I wasn't able to watch Harry Potter number 4.
Why?
Because it seemed too scary for me, but I got through it.
And you were fine?
Yeah. There was no scary bits in it.
No nightmares?
No nightmares.
Perfect. So would you say if you're about 6 years old or more that Harry Potter is fine?
Yeah, Harry Potter is fine.
But you just need to watch it with a big, don't you?
Yeah, big adult.
Okay.
Someone you can snuggle up to.
If you're older than six, you might be able to watch it without an adult.
Okay, that's a good recommendation. So are you going to try and watch some more of them?
Yeah.
Because you've still got a few left.
I got like three more.
Do you reckon you'll be able to get through them before Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that your aim?
Yeah.
All right, you've got so much of, so many movies and stuff to watch and then tell us about over the next few weeks.
Do you think you can come back in a few weeks and tell us some more?
Yeah.
Cool.
Shay, thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Catch you on the flip-flop laters.
Quiz time. This one is Bond-related.
Huh.
I thought seeing Bond has been called an alcoholic through every single movie.
It's not an alcoholic.
We might have a look at how well your Bond knowledge is.
Okay, we'll see how we go.
I'll give you clues.
Sure.
So this is called Who Was Bond in Which Movie?
Okay.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Mm. Got six of them. We'll get straight in with The Spy Who Loved Me.
Roger Moore?
Bang. First off, fantastic start. I think we may have spoken about this one before, Die Another Day.
That's Pierce Brosnan.
That's Pierce Brosnan.
That's the one with him in the car on the ice.
And that's from 2002, and the song was Madonna.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. It was probably the least Bondy song I'd heard.
Sure.
Before and after. Mm. What about The Living Daylights? last one I do not remember at all.
I want to say Timothy Dalton.
It was Timothy Dalton, yeah, from 1987. Nice one. Octopussy, famous.
That's Sean Connery.
No, I thought it was Sean Connery as well. Wikipedia told me Roger Moore. Would you want to fight it?
No, I'll allow that.
It's from 83.
Sure, then that's definitely Roger.
What about Skyfall?
That's Daniel Craig.
I think that's his second one.
Because Quantum of Solace, that one that made no sense.
Yeah.
Is in there somewhere too.
I remember watching that. 2012. And finally, Thunderball.
Thunderball, that's Sean Connery, yeah?
Yeah, I had to throw a Sean Connery one in there. That one is from 1965, so I think it may be maybe the first, second or third.
Where's George Lazenby?
Well, he was busy.
Fair. I can't remember. There was one where Woody Allen played him as well. There was Jimmy Bond.
Do not remember that at
all. It's not official Bond canon.
Well, I wouldn't think so, but...
I'll have mine shaken. Stirred.
Not stirred. Mm. Well done.
Thanks. I did better than I thought I would.
You did very, very well. That was good.
I don't watch a lot of Bond anymore. I used to watch a lot of it. But I had a friend who was obsessed with Bond and he passed away, so now I don't really watch it.
Fair enough.
A bit tough.
But as you can imagine.
I remember better than I expected.
No, you did very well.
Thanks. I'm
thoroughly impressed. You are now the official Bond expert of this podcast.
Thank you.
Whether you like it or not.
If I was in Bond, I would hope to be Q.
Okay.
I would be wanting to make the gadgets and staying behind and hanging with John Cleese. Or
Being John Cleese would be all right.
And you?
I kind of want to be Dame Judy.
Of course. I was going to say, you're not a money penny. You're not a secretary. The boss.
I want to make the decisions and say, oh, Bond, you need to stop drinking.
Damn it, I need your gun and badge on my desk.
That's
damn
right.
It.
Why don't we have a look at what happened in The Good Place?
Sure.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2... 1. You have been warned.
I feel like we need many chairs to sit down and try and deal with this. Wow. That was a big episode.
That was a huge episode.
I hyped it a lot in advance. Like,
yeah, of course.
Almost all the cast on Twitter were like, hey, if you've watched Good Place before and you enjoyed it, you really need to watch tonight.
And I agree with everything they said. You 100% needed to
I feel like we could have a checklist of great moments.
Well, even just the way it started, I thought it started off so incredibly powerfully, and you were right there. It jumped straight off from the last episode into this episode, and we need to say Darcy Carden.
Whew. Acting masterclass.
Not only in the very beginning was she Janet, five Janets, but every single Janet was a different character.
And you could tell who they were.
Straight away.
Yep.
She did an amazing job. Now, you were saying that she did, surprisingly, a little bit of rehearsing behind.
Yes. So I listened to Good Place podcast this week, and she was explaining that she, when they did a table read, they got all of the actors to read their lines. She recorded it all of it, some of it on her phone, so she could get their mannerisms down, but more importantly, learn the cadence of their voice. Because she could do impressions of them, but it's a different thing doing an impression to actually talking how someone would talk. So apparently she spent like 2 weeks just listening to nothing but this tape of her friends and co-workers reciting the lines.
Amazing.
And she's a really great improviser. She's known for doing improv comedy, but she said this was the one episode there was not a hint of that. They mainly filmed in 6-second bursts.
So she could maintain and keep that.
No, because character? She'd have to do some part and then have to move to the other one for staging to check that the eyesight lines were still right. There were so many moving pieces. And normally in these sorts of two of someone on screen, it's two. But this was 4-5 at a time. Like the only one I can really think that was similar to this was Multiplicity back in the day with Michael Keaton, where he clones himself a lot.
Yep.
And that was nowhere near as well done as this.
Orphan Black does it a little bit, but nowhere near as much.
But you think with this, so she played Janet, or good Janet. We didn't see bad Janet.
Neutral Janet.
She played Cheedy Janet, yep. Eleanor Janet,
yep.
Tahani Janet,
yep.
Jason Janet.
Who was outstanding.
It was so good. She also played Eleanor Janet pretending to be Cheedy Janet. No, sorry, Eleanor Janet pretending to be Jason
Janet.
And Jason Janet pretending to be Eleanor, Janet.
It was shrimp. Phenomenal.
I'm shrimp horny, baby. Wow, it was so good. And then, like, as great as she was, I'm pretty sure on the last podcast I was saying how excited I am to finally meet the accountant to see who this is, because they've done such a great job casting these people.
And who was it?
It's Stephen Merchant holding a world's number one boss mug.
He literally could not have had a better person.
It was Wernham Hulk again.
It was amazing.
It was like they were. It was back in the office.
It really was. Even the computers looked as old as the original office computers. But the whole fact that he had to go and get the corner piece of the cake, like, it was just the whole thing. The poor guy who has to do weird sexual fantasy department stuff.
There was a lot of weird going on.
I want to watch it again.
I have watched it again. And? It's worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see some cool stuff.
I feel like I missed stuff.
Make sure you look, try and read what people are reading on their screens.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I missed the signs that were up against.
You get a bit
them.
From that, but every now and then you might catch a flicker or two of words on screens of people judging souls, basically.
Okay, great.
But yeah.
So over 500 years it's been since a human has gotten into heaven.
Yeah, not even one of the Golden Girls.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, that's made me really sad.
I felt like that was the perfect joke to make there.
That's amazing.
Good people. If Doug Fawcett isn't getting in. No one's getting in.
No one's getting in.
But it's more twisted that no one seems bothered by that. They're just happy being bureaucrats.
They don't care.
System's broken.
Yep.
And Michael finally has that moment of... Janet tells him, no one's coming to fix this.
No one. It's,
no one's on your side. It's you or
it's
nothing.
It's you.
And that's
He's
cool.
got to be the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they're in a new place again.
The actual good place.
We think. We think.
If the bad place really has gotten their hands all over the system for how humans get judged, is that going to the good place? I suspect maybe we're in for something else.
Yeah, or is there even a good place anymore? If no one knew's gone there. I know this is crazy, but my after watching it the second time, I had this, like, imagine if we get to the good place and everyone there hasn't seen anyone new in so long that they're all bigots. That change is that terrifying to them that they're going to be viewed with distrust and
500
stuff.
Years with each other and no one else.
And you think it's been that long since anyone got into the good place. 3/5 of that time, these characters have been alive knowing each other in the bad place. So there's... That's a technicality thing, but just...
But at the same time...
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the people in the real good place might have been warped by no further contact. They're not going to understand Jason at all.
They are going to have no time for these people who are not only newcomers, but not right. They shouldn't rightly be in the good place.
And you, like, almost everyone that Chidi believes, all these philosophers, none of them made it. So everything that he's based his life around, which on on Earth he came to the conclusion was a waste, and he's tried to continue with, now he's going to find out all over again that they were all wrong. And even if they weren't wrong, they didn't make it.
Was wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So maybe we're going to get another Chidi top off chili peeps thing.
He's going to have another, yeah. He's going to run around in a, was it a pink t-shirt?
Yeah. So, they've really given a lot of their actors almost hero episodes this season. Do you think about Jason had the episode of reconciling with his father. Tahani had one with her sister. Janet, who hadn't done much up to this point and had been stuck on Earth without powers, instead gets this powerhouse episode to show off and flex.
This was an amazing episode.
Yeah, Chidi had his breakdown. They've given everyone a real good. I just have a lot of high hopes for what's coming for Michael. They've set things up now that he's got to step up, and kind of narrative structure of things means that this needs to be furthering his hero's journey at this point. So one of these three episodes is going to be focused on him.
So when are we getting the next one?
I believe they come back second, perhaps third week of January. So it's not too long to wait.
Yeah.
It's long enough, and it's only going to be three episodes. I'm hoping they haven't confirmed, but I'm hoping that the last episode is a double.
That'd be good.
It would be.
That'd be really good. And for the people who are hanging off till the season finishes so they can start their binge watching.
Why are you listening?
Well, yeah, that too. But also maybe now is a good time to start.
Yes.
Because you'll be able to get up to date and then you'll still have 3, potentially 4 episodes to binge at the end of January.
So many of these shows are difficult to jump into because you've got a lot to catch up on.
You 100% have to start the
You've got a bit
beginning.
Of stuff to catch up on, but... They reboot the show every 3 or 4 episodes,
yeah.
So it's not as much as a big deal as you would think. It's well worth catching up, but you could just jump in now if you want.
So enjoyable.
You'll have no idea what's going on.
No, you'll have no idea what's going on.
Have a ball of the time.
That's right. Mm. All right, I think this has been more than enough of an episode, a huge episode actually. Next week I'll talk about more things that I watch because we just didn't have time.
Nice. Next week, good. I'm going to fart in harmony.
That's beautiful.
A little sampler.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm giving everyone a digital hug right now.